Hello, everybody. My name's Angie, and I'll be reading from the Bible passage for today, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm John, one of the pastors at Livingstone, and if you came this morning expecting a sermon on the book of James, my apologies. I was chatting with someone last week, and I thought I wanted to speak about church, about us being one body with many parts, and I thought this was a great passage that speaks about that. And how God has given us different gifts, spiritual gifts that we can play a role at church. So we will continue our series on James next week, but this week we're just going to have a break and look at this topic today. So how about let's pray together and then we'll look at the passage. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal your wisdom and your plan for us as a church. We pray as we read and reflect and think about it, that you would give us a greater understanding and help us to practice this and to be aware of our gifts, the role that we play in the body, and help us to use it for your glory and for the good of one another. So we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever looked at another person's gifts and felt like, "Oh, I wish I had that gift. I wish I was like that person." Or have you met a person, a Christian, who speaks in tongues and you felt that, am I missing out something because I don't speak in tongues? Does the person who has the gift of tongues, like speaking in tongues, is that person more spiritual than a person who doesn't speak in tongues? So these are some of the questions as we look at this passage that teaches us about spiritual gifts and the different roles we play as part of the body of Christ. Let me just give you some background about the Corinthian church. So the Corinthian church had a very inflated view about speaking in tongues. So for them, speaking in tongues was the gift. It meant that a person who spoke in tongues was someone who's like super spiritual. And it was a gift that they highly prized and valued. And elsewhere it says to speak in tongues is like speaking the language of angels. So they had high regard for this particular gift, the gift of tongues. And so what happened was those who didn't speak in tongues felt inferior. They felt that, oh, we have missed out on this wonderful gift. And those who did speak in tongues felt superior because, oh, I've got this great gift. So that's the situation in the church at Corinth. And so they write to Paul about this. And Paul, when he writes in these chapters, he's addressing the question about tongues and spiritual things. If you look at chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual things." The word used for spiritual gifts is usually the word charismata, but here it doesn't use that word. So the translations often say concerning spiritual gifts, but the word is actually a different word, pneumatikon. So it can be spiritual things or spiritual persons. So that's what he's talking about. But the fact that he's writing and he says concerning spiritual gifts or things or persons, he's addressing an issue that they had asked him. So that they had asked him this question, and now he's writing his reply, his answer. So what is it that he wants them to know as a corrective to their wrong thinking about spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues? So what does he say? He says this, verse 3, "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So that's the first thing that he wants the church to know, that all Christians are spiritual. That means if you can recognize who Jesus is, if you can confess that Jesus is Lord, that He is Christ, that means the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart to cause you to be able to do that. That means you are born again. The miracle has happened in your life where you can say Jesus is Lord. There are a lot of people who can't say Jesus is Lord. There are a lot of people who don't recognize who Jesus is or who deny Jesus. But the fact that you can say Jesus is Lord, and I mean, not just the words like I can say Jesus is Lord, you know, not just the word, but really you believe that Jesus is Lord. The fact that you can do that means that you have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that such an encouragement to us? If you can say Jesus is Lord, that is something supernatural. That is something that only the Holy Spirit coming inside of you has caused you to be able to say that. So that's what he wants them to know. Confessing Jesus is Lord is evidence that the person has the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you can say that. Think of all your friends out there who are not Christian, who will not say Jesus is Lord. They do not have the Holy Spirit. I remember growing up in Malaysia, and there were some people who thought that only if you spoke in tongues, it meant that you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So some people thought like that. And what it led to was, it led to two classes of Christians. So then you've got those who spoke in tongues, and they were, wow, this fantastic, super elite group. And then there were those who were like, oh, just ordinary Christians who didn't speak in tongues. But what Paul is saying is, that's not true. There's no two class of Christians, there's only one class of Christians. So the Corinthian view was like that. Super Christians, tongue speaking, and ordinary Christians, like two separate categories. But Paul is saying, if you can say Jesus is Lord, means that you have the Holy Spirit and you're a Christian. So there's no two categories, there's one category. So that's the first thing that Paul wants them to think like this about spiritual gifts, and especially the gift of tongues. So all Christians are spiritual. There are no two classes of Christians. The next thing Paul wants them to know is this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working or activities, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Notice the word different, same, different, same, different, same. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different service, same Lord Jesus. Different working or activities, same God the Father. It's interesting how it's as if he's drawing a parallel with the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, yet three distinct, unique persons. Three persons, one God. So there's a unity, and there's a diversity. One God in three persons. And likewise, Christians are not the same. If you look at the person next to you, the people around you, we are all very different. We are all very different. So, different people, yet we are the same. What is our sameness? We are part of one body. We are the body of Christ. So he's explaining that there are different Christians who will have different gifts, who will serve in different ministries, who will be involved in different activities, but we are all part of one body. One body with different people involved in different things. So then the next question that he answers is, why does God give gifts? So what's the point of having different spiritual gifts? And verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So God gives each of us a gift so that we can use it for the good of the whole, the good of one another, the good of the body, the good of the local church. So the purpose of gifts is to build the body. It is to grow the body. It's for the whole, for the entirety. The gift is not given for ourselves. The gift that you have, God has given you, is for the other people around you. He then goes on to give various examples. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, examples of this. So the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, faith is a gift, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. And I just want to show you all that when Paul is writing to 1 Corinthians, he's writing to them, he's not saying that this list is exhaustive. He's not saying that that's all the gifts there are. He's just giving gifts that were relevant to their situation, their church. But if you look at other passages, we have examples of other gifts. So in verses 28 to 30 at the end, he talks about, and he somehow moves from gifts and roles. Like he talks about apostles, prophets are gifts as well to the body of Christ. Teachers, miracles, gifts of healing. I just highlighted the one in red because sometimes we overlook certain gifts. The gift of helping. The gift of helping. That's a great gift, isn't it? The gift of helping, like you are able to help in so many different ways. And that is a gift as well. The gift of guidance, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Romans 12, verse 4 to 8 as well. There are different gifts that are mentioned there. Prophesying, serving. Serving is a gift, the gift of serving. Giving is a gift. So we should all give when the offertory is going out and you want to respond to God. We should all give. But then there are those who are able to give that God has blessed them financially, materially, and you may be that person with the gift of giving. So even over and beyond what all of us as Christians do, there are people who may have the gift of giving. So then God blesses you and you're a channel of blessing. So the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement. Encouragement is a gift. The ability to encourage other people. The gift of showing mercy. That's a gift as well. So there are various gifts. 1 Peter, he speaks of two categories of gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. So I'm giving you all the different passages in the Bible that talks about gifts just to show you that the list is not exhaustive. So there are things that are not included that are gifts as well. So what are things that can be used to build us up for the common good as a body of Christ, as God's people, as a local church? So I think music is a great gift. The gift of evangelism, administration, organizing, like all these different things are gifts. So then they're gifts, but when Paul talks about the fact that they're gifts, he also talks about there are different ways to serve and there are different activities. So there's you may have the gift of encouragement, but you may encourage people by meeting up for a coffee and having a chat with them. Or another person has the gift of encouragement, but the way that they manifest that gift is by writing letters or sending cards to a person. Or another person may have the gift of encouragement. What they do is they buy a book that they know that this person will be encouraged by this book and they give them that book. Or they read an article that said, oh, this person would be encouraged by reading this article. So the same gift of encouragement may manifest in a particular individual in different ways. So it's not just all the same. There are differences in how we can use the gifts that God has given us. So that's something to bear in mind. And notice what he says here when coming back to the passage. He says, to one has been given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and then to another a message of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy. What's he saying? It's not like one person has all the gifts. God gives this guy one gift, that person a different gift, and this person a third gift. Like, he's giving different gifts to different people. That's what it's saying, to another, to another. I think the best way, you've got to see this visually, I think that helps. So I'm just going to ask some people to come up, and just visually to be able to see that. Kelvin, I'll get Kelvin to come up because he smiled at me. Anna, you get a nice smile there, so come on to the front. Bright, yes, that's a nice smile over there. Oh, just if you could just stand in front as my models. Yeah, so one here. And over here. Matt, you have a big smile. Matt, yeah. Matt wanted to come in front, but he was smiling so big I couldn't help myself. Yeah. Savina, that's a nice smile over there as well. Sam, come on to the front, yeah. Oh, and Ken. We've got to get Ken to the front, yes. Come on to the front. Yep. Do these people look alike? If they look alike, this doesn't work so well, but I'm assuming they don't look alike. Yep, okay. And so when you read this passage, what it's saying is to one, say to Anna, God has given a gift. Then to another, to Calvin, God hasn't given Calvin Anna's gift. He's given Calvin a different gift. Then to another, to Bright, God has given a different gift. Then to Matt, another, he has given another gift. And Davina has got a different gift, Sam has got a different gift, and Ken has got a different gift. So when you read the passage, you need to realize that God has given different people different gifts. And yet, they are all part of the one body. And that's very important to realize. Okay, now we're going to just go on to take that a bit further. Who decides who gets what gift? So it says that all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. It's a gift. It's not something that they worked hard and they got. It's something that God has given them. The way that they are wired and the gifts that they have are by God's decision. He has given it to them. So they've got different gifts by God's choice. I'll just keep it up just a bit more because it goes on. And so he goes on to explain, just as the body, the one body, has many parts. So these are all the different parts of the body. They form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So I'm going to ask them a question about their background. Okay. Ken, what's your background?
In general? Yeah. Yes. I'm a father too. I've got a lovely family. Come to this church.
Yes. Okay, so Ken's a father of two, and yeah, husband to Catherine over there. And in terms of where were you born?
Born in Vietnam.
And Ken was born in Vietnam. So it's talking about different people from different backgrounds as well, Jews or Gentiles, slave and free. What kind of work do you do? Can be general, yeah.
I run businesses.
Okay, so Ken is runs business. Okay. Sam, what kind of work do you do?